Hello there, everybody! How you're doing? I hope you all have a great day or night, depending on where you are, it doesn't matter. And thanks for tuning in. Welcome to another episode of The Gamer's Choice. Mom the Greek with the Geeks, Stelios Laudis. And you're tuned in to the first ever audio-only independent game review podcast ever. In each episode of the show, I'm going to be taking a deep dive into the world of video games, as I'm searching to find the best games for you to enjoy and the worst ones to avoid. Regardless of genre, franchise, or anything like that, I'm going to give you my personal opinion on these games. No bribes, no biased reviews, nothing at all like that. It's going to be 100% my legitimate opinion. Anyways, enough lemming around, let's begin the episode. Left 4 Dead 1 and 2 was, and still is, one of my favorite zombie games I have ever played. If you don't know what this game is about for some reason, it's basically you, three more friends, if they have the game, against a horde of zombies, as your goal is to complete multiple scenarios to escape from a location. With a memorable cast of characters, horrifyingly good gameplay, a dedicated community with the awesome versus mode and online co-op, it's one of the greatest online zombie games ever. Heck, even Left 4 Dead, which is a completely separate game, has a free DLC which allows you to play as Bill from the original Left 4 Dead. But have you ever wondered how it would be like if we combined Left 4 Dead, parkour, and a title that sounds cool yet at the same time sounds like if a bulb is gonna burn out and its light starts dying? Well, Techland's Dying Light is the answer. Yeah, and yes, I made a joke about this title. Released in 2015 for PCs, Mac, Xbox 360, sorry PS3 owners, and PS4 and Xbox One, and later on October 19th, 2021, on the Nintendo Switch in the form of the Platinum Edition, Dying Light is essentially you dealing with zombies on ground level and running like a free man when you're on the rooftops. This idea at first may sound unusual, but in execution it feels natural and adds more depth into the base gameplay of surviving against zombies. And because you know I like being in-depth on games in this show, let me get deeper into the game, shall I? Dying Light takes place at the fictional city of Haran, inspired by a real-life location, Rocinha, one of the biggest favelas in Brazil. There, an unknown and mysterious viral outbreak started turning people into zombies, forcing the defense ministry to quarantine parts of the city, while at the same time, the Global Relief Effort, also known as the GRE, assist survivors by regularly dropping supplies via airdrops, which, okay, that makes total sense. The question is, why are we here? Well, this is because we take control of undercover GRE agent Kyle Crane, deploying to the city with a goal to find Kadriz Suleiman, a politician gone rogue who has a file that, if leaked, could severely damage the GRE's reputation. However, it will be soon revealed that Cal's situation after getting to Haran is much more dire than what he expected, as after being saved from zombies by two survivors, he wakes up into the tower, home of many other survivors who are struggling to survive as they get harassed by a warlord named Rice, who loots every supply drop the GRE sends in the city. With that, Cal has a bigger goal to accomplish: help the survivors, at the same time complete the mission ordered by the GRE, and survive. For me, it was pretty much okay. It's not the best, it ain't gonna get an award for that, but it ain't the worst either. It is serviceable and sometimes interesting to follow, but it doesn't do anything to make it special. Sure, you get some big plot twist moments, but other than that, Dying Light plays it safe and goes forward with the story. Simply, yeah, it just goes forward. Despite this though, I kinda enjoyed it personally, despite the somewhat underdeveloped characters and the cliché yet interesting antagonist. But hey, even if the story is not the best, gameplay is something that matters, and on the other hand, it's superb. As I said, it's kind of like Left 4 Dead when it comes to some gameplay mechanics, but with an open world to explore with up to 3 more friends, it focuses a lot on survival and most importantly, the parkour element. Dying Light allows you to explore around to your heart's content, with many locations to discover and items to scavenge. However, you can't forget that there are zombies plaguing the streets. And with that, you have to use height to your advantage, climbing structures and jumping from one to the other, in order to get to your location faster, easier, and safely, showing that being on the ground level isn't always the best solution. You will still need to eventually get lower though, as you may not always be able to parkour your way to your destination. That's where you will need to deal with zombies. To do so, you got two options. Either just run away and do whatever you can in order to not get attacked, or scavenge for weapons, which, as I said, can be found or crafted, it's having its own stats, rarity, and type. And alongside with that, having a higher level means better gear, which, about the levels, I will talk about that a little later. From simple wooden planks with a nail, to insanely powerful baseball bats, axes, and firearms, there is a variety of weapons you can find as you progress through the game. But these weapons, they need to be used with caution, as excluding firearms, they won't last for too long. Depending on the durability stat and rarity, they will easily or hardly break down when used, and eventually be ineffective. You can repair them, of course, but you only have a limited number of them, so you need to fight with a variety of weapons and use them when needed and depending on the situation. After all, variety is the spice of life. As you make your effort to survive in Haran, you will also need to complete story missions to help the survivors of the tower and complete the GRE's mission. There are 13 story missions throughout the over 20-hour campaign, and don't be fooled that they're not a lot, because, oh boy, they have a lot of objectives to accomplish, and they're pretty unique too. Each mission doesn't feel the same at all, there's always the progression that something is happening and you gotta do something about it, and on some occasions, it can be breathtaking. Completing said missions nets you experience points, which are added to your survivor rank, and racking up gives you a skill point and an upgrade or two unlocked depending on said rank. And yes, this also, as I said before, affects your weapons you can find, so that means that higher levels equal much more stronger gear and weapons. Alongside with that, there's also a combat and agility rank, which are ranked up by getting EXP from combat and parkour perspectively, encouraging players to not just rush throughout the campaign and instead opt to grind via fundamental accents and mechanics too. The game also offers 51 side missions that not only reward you with more EXP, gear, and blueprints, but allow you to see how the lives of Haran survivors are. From searching some crayons for the kids to the tower to occupy the time, to helping a father get a gun so he can go outside with his son and be able to defend themselves and get out of here, and even helping a guy get some alcohol to allegedly help his wife with a baby that's been born, only to find out it was just a group of friends getting drunk. You never know what shenanigans you will get yourself into, anything is possible. But unfortunately, not everything is fun and games. Because when enough in-game time passes and night comes down, things are way different. Your vision is severely limited, with only your flashlight being an alternative. And worse, a new type of zombie, the Volatile, will start appearing on the streets of Haran. And these are extremely strong that, unless you have some powerful weapons from grinding, DLCs or whatever, they will be near impossible to kill, so stealth is extremely advisable. In case you get caught though, well, stop anything you do and get the hell out of here, because oh boy, they will be chasing you for quite some time. And they're also fast, so you need to have some great mobility and movement to escape. To successfully do so, you gotta get into the high ground, run, try to break their sight from you, and keep on going till they lose you and give up hunting you, while altering between the ground and high ground. For newcomers, it's a moment where you have to skip at all costs. That's why you can go to the safe houses and skip night so you can go straight to day. For veterans, though, this is a good moment if they want to show their skills or whatever. Plus, staying outside at night nets you double the EXP on combat and agility, and extra survivor EXP when surviving long enough without getting killed, adding a reward to the risk you take. On top of that, the longer your volatile chases are, the higher the chase level is, reaching a max of level 4, the more survivor EXP you get, making for another risk and reward mechanic that works effectively. Aside from that, though, there are more activities you can do aside from that. You can scavenge for supplies, craft new items from a big list of items, activate more safe house, get into quarantine zones to complete special tasks, escort survivors to the tower, and more. Obviously, you can also do any activity with 3 more friends to spice things up and add more dose in the fun. In the end, the gameplay is smooth and intense, making for a great survival experience. And my goodness, can we even speak about the soundtrack? For a zombie game, it must be one of the most chilling soundtracks of all time. From the moment you get into the main menu, to the ambient music while you explore the city, all the way to the final moments of the campaign, gave me quite the chills. And adding to the atmosphere and somewhat demanding but great atmospheric graphics, you will want to just go as high as possible and see the sun setting or rising as a chilling ambience plays. You can't get any better than that. Oh, and did I forgot to mention about Techland's continuous support they put in the game? Seriously, it has been over 5 years and there are so many things that make it even more worthwhile to play. DLCs, skin packs, community events, more updates, the Be the Zombie mode and zombie invasion matches, and even a full expansion to the story, Dying Light the Following, serving as a continuation to the main campaign, and is just as great as the main game, with a new map to explore, new missions and characters to encounter, and a buggy you can drive. Ain't that so cool? Like, the original Dying Light, the main campaign, it doesn't have drivable vehicles. The Following, though, it has that, and you can drive as much as you want. Obviously, though, The Following is going to be something that I'm going to review at some other time, if people would love to. In the end, Dying Light is one of the best games of the 2010s. Left 4 Dead may be a fan favorite for zombie fanatics, but this adrenaline-filled adventure with a deep and smooth gameplay and amazing visual presentation is a must-play too. I really cannot say anything else but say that this game gets from me an 8 out of 10. Trust me, for all you zombie fans, buy this game. You will not be disappointed. If you're a zombie fan, if you're a parkour fan, if you're an action fan, whatever from that, you will love this game. Even better, at the time that I write this review, we also have Dying Light 2 Stay Human, which is a sequel which is going to be much bigger, and honestly, I just cannot wait for this sequel. It's so impressive from the trailers, and the whole decision making that affects the whole world thing is just so cool. And that pretty much is the episode of The Gamer's Choice on Dying Light. Thank you guys for checking it out, and if you liked it, please make sure to follow me on platforms like Spotify and Google Podcasts so you can stay tuned to newer episodes. And don't forget, you can also follow me on Instagram at Stoios_TakeASoda and on Twitter at TakeASoda. I also have a LinkedIn account, although this one, find it on my link tree, which you can find it on my social media. Anyways, this is The Gamer's Choice, I'm Stoios Laudis, and I'm signing off. Peace out.